Bishops from the United States are continuing their ad limina visits to Rome to pray at the tombs of the apostles and to meet with the Holy Father and officials from the Curia. One of the prelates visiting the Eternal City this week is Archbishop Gregory Amond of New Orleans. He spoke to Chris Altieri about the concerns and challenges facing the Church in the United States and in his own archdiocese.
This is extremely disappointing that the government has taken this stance. It's unprecedented, as we know, and it's important that we as the people of God and as religious leaders, along with our people, take a strong stand. I call back to New Orleans last night, spoke to members of our staff, and I have prepared a letter that will be read in all the parishes this weekend, explaining specifically what has taken place, what the ruling is, and asking for people not only to pray but to act by contacting legislators. And we must express our disappointment. We must express our confusion, because I think we thought that this was the United States was a land of liberty and justice and freedom, and that seems not to be the case.
It perhaps wouldn't be too strong to speak of indignation. What are our options at this point?
Yeah, concretely, what are our options? I don't know, because I always believe that we must go through dialogue, prayer, discernment, and we should not make any extreme positions, take any extreme positions or any extreme actions at this time. So I think dialogue, some kind of reconciliation, some kind of compromise. I'm hopeful. I don't know if hopeful is the word, though, because so far the administration has not indicated a willingness to meet us in the point of negotiation. So down the line, I'm not sure, but what I think is clear that we as Christians and as Catholics should not be told by anyone to violate our conscience. It's between ourselves and God, and we cannot and should not do what we believe is wrong. And, you know, the thing that confuses me about all this is that we're not saying that everybody in the United States has to believe what we believe. We're not saying that everybody in the United States has to act like we act. We're simply saying we believe in certain life issues. Therefore, we as individuals cannot violate our conscience. And for the government to say, well, you can live your religion at home, you can live it in church, but when it comes to the public arena, we will tell you how to live your principles. I think this is a very, very serious matter.
On the other hand, engaging in the national discourse about this, engaging the public debate, is going to require that the Church finds a way to talk with people who don't share our presuppositions about things. Do you have any ideas about how best to go about that?
Well, I think that's why it's important that we obviously use the life issues that we're talking about, but more importantly, that we do a fundamental study, exploration, and explanation of what it means to live in the United States. To what extent do I have freedom to act as I wish within what used to be the law? And if something is against my conscience, it seems to me, this is where I'm confused and perhaps naive, but we make and we should make exceptions for other religions and denominations, the way they act, the way they dress, their laws. We make all kinds of rightful, respectful accommodations. Then all of a sudden, we're told that when it comes to these issues of morality, that the government will tell us how to live. So therefore, I think it's important that we keep the issue straight, that the examples are about pro-life issues and about reproduction and abortifacients and so forth. But we have to be more fundamental. What does it mean to live in the United States to have religious liberty? And I hope someone in the government and the administration can help us make some better sense of that.
And I'm wondering, what's doing in New Orleans on both fronts? How are you preparing for the Year of Faith? And are there any initiatives vis-a-vis the new evangelization?
In terms of the Year of Evangelization, we had already begun a year ago in Lent on Catholics Come Home. It's a national program, and we had it in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and basically said to people, if you used to belong to our family, and you have drifted for whatever reasons, a busyness of life, maybe disagreeing with some of the church teachings, perhaps being hurt by someone in the church or by the church leader, we invite you to be reconciled and to come home. So we actually began that about a year ago, and we had the opportunity not only to have commercials on TV inviting people back, but we did it on the local parish level. And I wrote to a couple of thousand people whose names I was given and asked them to come back to the church and to realize that around our table there was a place for them to sit, that there was a seat with their name on it. So we had begun that already, but I'm very much looking forward, and as we told the Holy Father this morning, very much looking forward to the Synod on Evangelization. We know in the United States, certainly in Louisiana and in New Orleans, there are people who are unchurched, and there are people who are nominally Catholic, and people who are Catholic by title. And so this is an opportunity, I think, for us to become more missionary, to become more outreaching, and to, because as we know, what we're really about in evangelization is to help people come to a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then that leads to a greater commitment to the church and to religion. So I think we're on a good road. I think we've done some good progress, some good programs in that. The other thing about the Year of Faith, we had decided in the Archdiocese of New Orleans to take a specific bent to the Year of Faith, given the gift of the new Missal, the new Roman Missal. And so we have declared it a Year of Faith with a specific emphasis on coming to a better understanding of and appreciation for the Eucharist. So we have a number of programs from the parish level to the diocesan level to the regional level, also to homes where we're providing materials and opportunities for people to come to a better appreciation of the Mass. Not just the changes in words, which is important, but it's more fundamental than that, as we know. What do we mean by the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist? What do we mean by the liturgy of the word? What is the liturgy of the Eucharist? What are the prayers, the Eucharistic prayers? So I think this is an opportunity for us to show that we are a people of faith in words, but also in prayer and in action. And I think it's a great opportunity that we will be able to do that through a real study and analysis of the Mass.
Do you find that people are taking to it, that they really are availing themselves of the opportunity? I mean, the people in the pews, the faithful, to learn, and how about, and the priests as well? I mean, these are things that could help priests, I would imagine, rediscover the Mass.
I think a lot of this is rooted in the human reality that we don't like change, or change is good as long as it doesn't affect me, and that's part of human nature. I think that there was a lot of reaction from many different people before. My experience in going from parish to parish in the Archdiocese of New Orleans is that people have adapted very well. Even the first, second, third, and fourth Sunday, there was laughter. I think some reverent humor about it. People were saying the wrong. And actually, I find that the people were responding much better than I was. At the gospel, I'll make my confession, when the deacon was proclaiming the gospel and said, "The Lord be with you," and I said, "And also with you." And now one of the responses that we hear a lot of times is, "And also with your spirit." So those are the kind of things that I think are humorous and reverent at the same time. But I have not heard the people of God respond in any real negative way. I think it's challenging for the priests because it affects us the most in terms of changes. And some of the prayers are a very different style than we were used to in the past. So I think that the time for change obviously is here. There will be a little rhythm to that. But I think that the prayers certainly are more poetic. They are more gracious to God in many ways. They have a beautiful language of worship to them. And I think it'll just take us time to get used to those. So I don't see it as the great crisis that some made it out to be. I can hardly believe that anyone would leave the church because of the changes of some words. I personally, and I say this respectfully, if someone said that, I would have to think, well, there has to be another reason. And this is certainly being used conveniently. Is change awkward? Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Can it bring us closer to God in this context? Yes. And it gives us an opportunity to pay more attention to what we're saying and how we're praying.